Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage. Truth of the ring.
Is the Savage Nation. I'm not going to make a big deal out of the fact that it's my birthday, but I'll probably make a big deal out of the fact that it's my birthday at some time, maybe the whole time, maybe not at all. But I have something to read to you. Then we're going to go right into the news. I mean, the news is horrendous. Let's be real. The first quarter is in for the presidency. The polls are a nightmare, and I'm going to ask you a question about it because we got to do something for the presidency because it's not about him anymore. It's about us. We cannot let the radical left destroy this nation, and they're winning. We're going to talk about that on the show today. That's going to be my birthday show. What can we do to save the Trump revolution? Because remember, it's our revolution. He is our leader. He is our representative. In a nation where there is very little representation, for those of us who believe in the nation, he is it. He's the closest we've come to this in 20 years or more. We cannot let the radical vermin on the left destroy his presidency and destroy us as well. 8 years Obama ran this country like a toilet bowl, did whatever he wanted. He disgraced this nation. He abused this nation. How many negative articles did you ever see about the disgraceful behavior, the illegal behavior, the power madness of Obama? Almost none. And now all of a sudden they're agitated. So let me begin with something that a very, very wise man wrote. He wrote this. He said, your birthday is the date when God decided that the world cannot exist without you. Someone sent me that. It's such an amazing, complex statement. Listen, your birthday is the date when God decided that the world cannot exist without you. Isn't that amazing? That comes from the Orthodox rabbi, the Lubavitcher rabbi, who also wrote, because time itself is like a spiral, something special happens on your birthday each year. The same energy that God invested in you at birth is present once again. And it's supposed to renew us. Do you understand that? It's supposed to renew us. It's a renewal, each one of our birthdays. So I want to read you something that I stumbled upon not too long ago today. It was in a boating magazine, of all places. It was about an interview with William F. Buckley Jr. many years ago. I read yachting, boating magazines. So one of the writers for the magazine says he interviewed William F. Buckley Jr., who was the godfather of conservatism in America. And he writes this. He says, as much apprehension as I had about cutting his story down, I was perhaps more concerned he might bring up politics. Buckley, both a yachtsman and a cultural force majeure, had never suited my taste off the water. His public take on the world, while informed and formidable, conflicted sharply with my 60s-influenced left-of-center politics. Like many on my side of the ravine, I considered him a bit hard on the ears. But I wasn't there to debate economics, foreign policy, or the social issues of the day. I was there to help a writer and fellow sailor present his story in the best possible light. Now, what I'm saying to you by reading this is look at the difference in how a left-of-center writer talked about a right-of-center political figure, William F. Buckley Jr., and the vermin that pass for journalists today. Take a look at the vermin, and I'll use that word until you finally hear me. Do you know what vermin means? Do you know what vermin means? It means opening a newspaper and having hatred spewed at the President of the United States, making believe that we truly are the deplorables, those of us who voted for him. He's an illegitimate president. Making up the fiction that Russia interfered with the election, a complete fabrication. A total fabrication, and this goes on. While North Korea threatens to nuke the west coast of the United States or Japan or Hawaii, and these solenterates, these worms, These crawling, creeping creatures in the media pay no attention to the threat of North Korea. Instead, they pay attention to the invented threat of Russia. And speaking of Russia, one of Putin's chief spokesmen today said that relations now are more dangerous than they were during the Cold War. This is what the vermin on the left want, war with Russia. Well, I suggest this. Why doesn't Charles Schumer go down to a recruiting center and enlist in the military? Why doesn't Hillary Clinton go enlist in the military? Let Jake Tapper go put on a uniform and go fight the Russian forces. Let Wolf Blitzer go fight the Russians. These sons of guns wanting war with Russia? Why are they doing this? To spin the false narrative like these poisonous spiders that they are over and over again while letting North Korea threaten a nuclear blast. Do you see how crazy they are? Do you understand how sick they really are? Do you understand how you cannot rely upon those in the fake news business? That's my birthday message. I hope you enjoy it with some cake. So the Rasmussen poll comes out, which is generally on the side of Donald Trump, and it says, -19. It's on the Drudge Report. Matt Drudge tweeted, intriguing lunch. Oh, no, that's another one. I think he said this. He said, okay, got it. End of first quarter. Verdict is in. But don't count him out. Early days. His disapproval ratings are very low. Actually, very high. His approval ratings are very low, and it's frightening. And this is because of the propaganda ministry called ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, and C-SPAN. The propaganda ministry has spun a web of lies about this presidency, destroying the nation itself. They would not care. If they burnt the nation to the ground, they wouldn't care. If they started street wars where races were rioting, they wouldn't care. All they care about is bringing down Donald Trump. Do you understand how sick they are? Do you understand that they want a civil war? Do you get that? Do you understand that they want a civil war? Do you understand that the psychotic Barry Obama spent 8 years turning blacks against whites, whites against blacks against police, Hispanics against blacks against Hispanics, women against men against women? Did you understand that 8 years was an example of the worst kind of political leadership you could ever imagine? A street thug, run by another street thug, run by other street thugs, who come to power on divisiveness and pitting one race, one sex, one class against another. And now we have in this country a low-grade civil war that's going on. A civil war conducted by the vermin in the media against all the people who voted for Donald Trump. -19. What would you say if you were advising Mr. Trump, if you had a chance to sit down with him for 5 seconds? Let's say there was a long line outside the White House, and he said, I want to hear from the people who voted for me. I'm going to give every one of them 30 seconds to walk through this room and speak to me for 30 seconds. If you are a likely voter, meaning if you voted for Trump or you even voted for Hillary, well, I don't care about the Hillary voters. They can go call Kim Jong-un and ask him how to run a country. They should go live in Kim Jong-un's North Korea. Then they'll see the paradise of socialism that they all want. If I had my dream for my birthday, God in heaven, I'm going to make a dream right now in a prayer. Dear God in heaven, would you please see that Bernie Sanders gets the first seltzer route in North Korea? Please, give him the first seltzer route in North Korea and throw in the pickle route. Go ahead, see if I care. I'll tell you what, give him a Knish route, too. He can have a truck that has hot and cold on it. He could have a seltzer route, a pickle route, and a Knish route. Him and the old lady, the Sanders people, they can go work in North Korea. And then he can see how the socialism that he espouses every day is how it actually works out for the average person. See, there are no pickles. There is no seltzer. There's nothing in North Korea. They eat grass, except for the pig at the top who eats people. WABC, Brian, line 2. If you were to advise Donald Trump in 30 seconds or less, what would you say to him?
I would say release the people. Allow us to conceal carry. Allow us to, I don't even know. I don't know if there's anything he can do, to tell you the truth.
All right, thanks for the call. I don't know why you're on the show. Please don't put anyone on the show who says he doesn't know what to do. I would like someone to say, here's what you do. You can come see the president say, I don't know what you can do. Thank you for being here. Have a pickle. Can I have some dessert? I heard Savage had dessert. And what would you say to the president? I didn't ask you what the media needs to do. Don't put them up. I want to know what you would tell the president. All right, here's another topic. You know how bad the universities are, right? A so-called Drexel University professor was on an airplane. He was sitting in first class, as all professors, as you well know, are poor. And he said some guy gave up his first class seat for an uniformed soldier. People are thanking him, he tweeted. I'm trying not to vomit, is what he wrote. The university immediately protected this POS, saying he can do it on his personal time. He put the tweet out in his own time. I want to ask you, if a white professor espoused something that was as offensive as this about Obama, if they would say it was on his own time. They said it's outside of his work, and the Drexel University didn't throw him out of class. His name is George Ciccariello Maher. Do you know what else he said? Do you want to hear what else this man had said? This is not the first time that Ciccariello Maher has made headlines for his social media posts. This radical anti-American around Christmas tweeted the following. All I want for Christmas is white genocide, and he teaches at Drexel. No comment from Wolf Blitzer. Now, here's another little story to show you the other side. I opened the New York Post this morning. They did the website. Go to Drudge. And I see this story. I see a pretty blonde lady. I think they dropped it. Somebody must have gotten to the boys who run it. They dropped the story. Isn't that something? What they did was take a pretty blonde Mormon lady, and they said, this is the face of racism. Joshua Rhett Miller wrote it, whoever that creature might be. And they said this, an attractive blonde stay-at-home mother of six is the bigoted face of Mormonism's budding alt-right subculture, spreading pro-white memes on social media that she insists are about heritage rather than hate. And listen to what this young lady, this woman, this married woman, this mother said, this Mormon woman. She said, we have an epidemic in the Western world right now. In America and Europe, citizens have become self-obsessed, lazy, fat, demanding, spoiled, loud, controlling, egotistical, and mentally ill. Feminism, homosexuality, atheism, hedonism, and transgenderism are being promoted, while the hard work and priorities of family and faith have all but died away, and this pattern is killing us physically and spiritually. They call her a racist on the New York Post website. And I ask a question. Is this attractive stay-at-home mom, of six, by the way, is she right or is she a racist? She's a human being. This is what she believes. And she goes on to say, yes, if you live in America, no matter what color you are, especially if you're in Utah, you live in a culture built by white Western Europeans. Sorry if you don't like that fact, but it's true. Rap is also destructive, maybe more so, on black culture, but that's a post for another time. Is there something wrong with what she's saying? Is that a racist statement? Does anyone see this as racism? I don't, frankly. Is there something wrong with my thinking? I've said far more than that. So a white professor wanted to vomit after a passenger gave a seat to a soldier. He's not fired by Drexel University. And the same low-life, filthy, psychotic professor last Christmas tweeted, all I want for Christmas is white genocide. That's called private opinion. Meanwhile, the woman who says things like this about the realities of our time is called a racist by the boys who run the New York Post. And you wonder why Trump's ratings are down, down, down? I don't. Because the trolls have taken over the news business. I'm Michael Savage. This is my birthday. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Now back to Michael Savage on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Okay, I asked for this. We're going to have a lot of jazz today. Who is this, Robert? Which one is this? Charlie Parker. You listen to my boy Mike in the Nation, Savage Nation. My birthday means it's a good day for me. Never thought I'd get to this age, to be honest with you. And so God's kept me alive for a purpose and a reason. That's what I truly believe every time I passed a certain age. Each year, I would say, there's a reason. It's got to be a reason he's kept me alive. I mean, genetically, I shouldn't be here. Genetically, I inherited pretty... I just never thought I'd get here. I thought it'd be like top 40. Top. I never thought I'd get past 40. So here I am, and joking around with a friend this year who won't go on the air with me, unknown man in the studio, and he says, I love your monologue. He said, I'd like to see Maxine Waters sent to North Korea. I said, well, she'd probably wake up and say, I really like it here in North Crimea. What's for breakfast? It's funny in its own way. So the real question of the day is the opinion polls from Rasmussen, which is a fairly accurate poll, is a disaster for the president right now. And I am asking you, if you were given the opportunity, come on this show 15 seconds or less, what would you advise Donald Trump? We don't know if he's listening right now. He may be. He does have, after all, the internet in the White House. It is possible that he tunes into a very popular radio show, one that still supports him and still loves him and still wishes him the best. Now let's ask the listeners out there what they really think and what he needs to do to regain his momentum. Roger on WABC Line 9, fire away.
Hello, I'm from Monticello, New York, Fallsburg, New York area. I would tell Donald Trump, don't give up. You don't know how close you come to winning if you give up or surrender. And I personally feel that being a New York State president, I feel like it's nothing here but dictators.
Where are you, in Monticello? You're in the Fallsburg area?
I'm in Fallsburg, New York, Monticello area.
Are those hotels and bungalow colonies still there that I worked in as a boy?
Which one is that, the Concord?
Who knows? They all fell into disrepair. They look like overgrown relics.
It's terrible up here. It's a liberal-run state. They don't care about anybody but certain groups of people.
Yeah, yeah. They imported a lot of... did they put a lot of foreigners in there?
Well, there's a lot of everything here, but they all have a lot.
You got a very big drug epidemic up there. That I happen to know for a fact.
Oh, sure. Heroin is...
Heavy-duty junkies moved into the Monticello area because the social services are good. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, sir.
I know a lot of stuff. You wouldn't think a guy who lives by the water in San Francisco and feeds seagulls old bread knows what's going on in a hamlet in upstate New York. Would you? You wouldn't think that. Now, what can Donald Trump do to raise his popularity? He ought to ask this man who feeds seagulls by the bay, because I know what to do to save this presidency.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You are listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
Peace is truly within reach.
Oh, God.
So from peace processes like the one we celebrate today to
a warmonger
important
talking
steps
about
that
peace.
Nations and institutions are taking.
Okay, just recognize. Listen to our voice and tell me you're not happy that Donald Trump won. Listen a little bit more
addressing
to see what you missed.
Climate change and standing up
again.
Terrorism
again.
And conflicts of all kinds.
Okay, she's back. She's back. And guess what she's doing? She learned nothing from her defeat. She had victory within her grasp, but because she did not stop attacking the core base of America, the working class of America, and instead appealed to the fragmented, marginal issues of the day, climate change, violent extremism, she did nothing to stop ISIS while she was Secretary of State. Her husband is a scam artist who siphoned billions of dollars into their slush fund called the Clinton Library. And now she's celebrating peace after starting war with Russia, first calling him Hitler. She was the first one to call him Hitler. It's her entire invention. Now she's talking about peace. This is right out of Orwell. War is peace. Hate is love. Night is day. Up is down. You should be thankful that Trump won, because even if he does nothing right now, we're 100% better than we would have been with her in power. It's as simple as that. But the question is, his popularity is plummeting, according to Rasmussen. And so if it's plummeting even amongst his loyalists, which it is, I'm asking you what you would advise him to do. So let's go to the callers. WABC, John, line one. Go ahead, please.
How are you, Dr. Savage? First of all, happy birthday.
Hold it. I know you all want to say that. It's terribly a waste of air time. No one gets on and says, how are you, or happy birthday. Just give me 12 seconds now. What would you advise?
I would tell Donald Trump, hang in there.
Will you give him the egg roll, please? Give my guest the egg roll. Thanks for the call. I'm distracted by saying that. I have a guest here. I bought Chinese food, and he can't find the egg rolls nor the Chinese food. That's more important to me than what I'm talking about right now. Ryan, where's the egg roll in here?
In the bag.
Well, give it to him. Please. This, to me, is what it comes down to. It's food. Living well is the best revenge. Let me tell you something. Living well is the best revenge. I'm having a birthday party right now. I sound that for Chinese. I can't even tell you who the guest is. I won't. I promise you. It's a secret. But unless he was a nice guy, he wouldn't be in the house. Teddy is unfortunately not here to be with us. He's at the Irene, the groomer. But because he ate a dish last night that I wouldn't feed to my dog of raw meat. Who eats steak tartare? He ate raw meat, would you believe this? And he doesn't feel well today. So I said, let me get you cheap Chinese food with very strong hot sauce. He can't wait for it. He's salivating over there. I gave him a plate. He's eating out of containers. It just shows you. Living well is the best revenge. I got a fortune cookie here. What do we have here? It's already, what time is it? 12? I'm delirious from the day. Sessions speeds deportation of illegal immigrants in federal prisons. Well, they must have read Trump's War. 2 books ago, I said, start by deporting the illegal aliens in prisons. How many years have I told you that? I didn't say deport the gardeners and the maids. Did I ever say that? In fact, many of you attacked me because you were like purists. Oh, let's deport them all. Let's throw them all out. No, I never said that for a number of reasons. I said, no, first deport the illegal aliens in prisons. That was at 26, 27, and 28% of prisoners were here illegally. You start by getting rid of the bad ones who have been arrested and tried and are in prison. That's what he's doing. Jeff Sessions is doing exactly what we want him to do. And you have to understand, this is why Donald Trump is being attacked left and right by the prison industrial complex, by the criminal industrial complex. Do you understand that it's bad for their business to deport the illegal aliens? Catholic Charities Industrial Complex, Lutheran Family Services Industrial Complex, they make billions of dollars off the illegal aliens. Catholic Charities has nothing to do with Catholicism. It's a racket. If Don Corleone of The Godfather were alive, he'd be running Catholic Charities, in my opinion. That's what it is. It's a scam. Billions of dollars to house, feed, clothe, medicate, educate non-citizens while veterans are dying in the halls of VA hospitals. So Sessions is doing the right thing, speeding up the deportation of illegal immigrants. Let me tell you something else. Let's say you're listening to the show and you say, oh, this guy is really great to listen to. He makes such a fool of himself. I don't believe a word he says. You know, a lot of people do believe a word I say. In fact, a friend of mine came in last night from San Francisco Airport. He said he was riding in his taxi or Uber from SFO into San Francisco. He said every street corner that this taxi stopped on the way to his hotel, he listened, he could not believe it. They were all tuned into the Savage Nation on KSFO. He said, this is in a liberal city. He said, every car I heard was listening to your show. He said, what's going on, Savage? How did you become so popular? I said, the reason is that people know something's wrong in the world when North Korea is threatening America and the newspapers say nothing about North Korea, instead ginning up the lie about Russia. They know also that I have a number one bestseller called Trump's War and it had a lot to do with his election. So they're starting to say, wait a minute, this guy, you know what I'm saying? He has a lot to do with this. Let's see what he has to say. Don't assume that because people identify as liberals that they're not listening to what others are saying. They're not all psychotic progressives or guys at universities who espouse things like, I want to see white genocide. Some of them really don't know what's going on and they want to figure it out. And there's another factor going on here. A lot of people have grown up politically over the last few years. They've seen the rapaciousness of the illegal immigrant. They have seen the social services being turned over to non-citizens while their grandfather is rotting in an old age home somewhere with almost no services. And they're wondering how much longer they can take, and they realize maybe they've been screwed. They look at the streets of San Francisco, garbage strewn, homeless strewn, needle strewn, broken streets, broken potholes, and they ask, wait a minute, maybe this guy Savage isn't so wrong. Where have the billions of dollars in federal highway funds gone? He asks every day. Have you been on Lombard Street or Venice in San Francisco? Have you seen the broken streets? A third world nation has better streets than this city, and yet they get billions of dollars in federal highway funds. Where does the money go? Well, go take a ride up to Pacific Heights where the ladies live, the ladies who run the world. There's something odd you'll find out. There's blacktop all the way up the street. It's blacktop, broken blacktop, all the way up Pacific Heights, until you get to the upper level, and then it's hard concrete, poured for the ladies who run the city. Did you know it's all hard concrete? You didn't know any of that. I actually see the truth, and I don't wait. So, look, I can stick to this topic all day long if you'd like. I don't know if I want to stick to it. I may want to get a little more spiritual. I brought this up, is she right or racist, and no one even responded to it. To show you how sick the newspapers are, they take a blonde Mormon woman with six children, a married woman, not a dirty slut with a needle in her arm. Not a dirty slut with a needle in her arm featured on Nat Geo intervention. Every night, an intervention with another filthy junkie I'm supposed to care about. I don't care about junkies. I hate junkies, as a matter of fact. And now here's a woman, attractive, blonde, stay-at-home mother of six. The New York Post calls her a bigoted woman, a bigoted face of Mormonism's budding alt-right subculture. Do you understand how sick this writer is, Joshua Rhett Miller of the New York Post, to call her a name like that? What did she actually say? Well, she made references to the so-called Black Lives Matter movement as a racist group promoting anarchy. Check that. That's correct. What is wrong with that? That's alt-right now? Why is she alt-right? What has she said that's wrong? The blogger Ayella tweets regularly from her Wife with a Purpose account to more than 22,000 followers. And she says she wants to support the revolution of radical traditionalism. She writes, we have an epidemic in the Western world right now. In America and Europe, citizens have become self-obsessed, lazy, fat, demanding, spoiled, loud, controlling, egotistical, and mentally ill. Check that. Feminism, homosexuality, atheism, hedonism, and transgenderism are being promoted, while the hard work and priorities of family and faith have all but died away, and this pattern is killing us physically and spiritually. I don't see any racism in that. Is there something wrong with me? Or is there something wrong with the New York Post for calling her a racist? One of my listeners wrote this. Listener said this. She said she listened to this and read the article. Downloading again. Everything's slow today. For my birthday, it's slow, so my timing is off. Well, anyway, here we are. What can Trump do to raise his popularity? So someone emails me and says, am I missing something? They didn't include any quotes to back up the claim that she's hateful or bigoted. Or am I hateful and bigoted because it doesn't sound to me from this article like she is? No, she isn't. She's a normal American white woman who they've turned into a hater because she's not a sick degenerate with nose rings and needles in her arm. That's how sick the media is. The same perverted sick media that attacks this beautiful girl for being a beautiful girl who's a stay-at-home mom with six children. Not a slut, not a junkie, not a whore, not a runaround. The same vermin in the media at the New York Post to attack her. Celebrate, not diversity, but perversity. How many years have I told you diversity is a code word for perversity? How many years have I told you that? How many years have I said things to you such as, even a strawberry has barbs on it. Barbs on the berries. That when America no longer has barbs on its berries, it will be overrun and it's soft. Inner flesh will be devoured. It's almost biblical in its implications. And what are the barbs on the berry of America? The police, the military, those are the barbs on our berries. The preachers, the pastors, those are the spiritual barbs on our berries. And they've come after every last one barb, every barb on the berry of America. The same rats who celebrate heroin addiction, celebrate sexual addiction, celebrate everything but a normal family in America. These rats have plucked out every barb out of every berry in this country, allowing the soft flesh of this great nation to be devoured. First by illegal immigrants from Mexico, then by illegal immigrants from El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, bringing them even with Zika. Your last president brought in infected women and infected babies, and no one said a word. The very same geniuses in the media who are now ripping Donald Trump for breathing, said nothing when that criminal Obama, that criminal Obama brought in women with Zika and infected people who never had the disease before. You know, when I say these things, I realize that it may be offensive to certain people. I'm not kidding. I do see the other side of it. For example, the other night I was watching a movie about one of the great black jazz artists who I don't have to mention, one of the great ones, a great movie. And there was a lot of black people in the movie, and I was really enjoying it enormously, that whole world of music, for example, at that time. And I was saying to myself, you know, if I got into their head, and anyone criticized Obama while they're alive, they would think that that guy's a racist. Because there are racial identities in this country of all kinds. A Jew, for example, if a Jewish person is anything negative about Jewishness, they think the person is a racist. If anyone says anything negative about Hispanic people, without saying anything specific about Hispanic people, just that illegal aliens are getting benefits they're not entitled to, they consider that racist. Everyone is very protective of their own identity. And that's a bad thing in a country that's supposed to be a melting pot. Why are we all so extra hypersensitive now about our racial identity, our sexual identity, our class in society in terms of money? Why? Because Obama, 8 years, eight straight years of identity politics, class warfare, pitting one race against another, one sex against another. You get the picture? It's never been this bad. Never, not in my lifetime, not during the civil rights movement did I see such hatred as what Obama has left us. He created a minefield. A field of mines in Cambodia was not as dangerous as what this man has done for this nation. The mines left on the fields of Cambodia were not as dangerous as the mines this evil president left for us in this country. And these mines are going off now. Not one article about what he did to sow this hatred. And now if Trump burps, the newspapers go to pieces. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Where do you think this is going to lead? You think this is going to stop? I don't. I think it's going to get worse. And then I think there's going to be a reaction they never expect. And I want to talk with you about what Trump can do to stop them and impose his agenda upon this nation as quickly as possible.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Michael Savage, weekdays from noon to 3 on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
What can Donald Trump do to raise his popularity? His numbers are pretty bad. The liars in the media have so distorted his every breath that even his own supporters are starting to doubt him. Now, the real question boils down to this, in my opinion. Should he get harder or softer? That's it. Should he go on the assault, as he's been doing? Not working for him, by the way. Tougher or softer? Harder? What should he do? That's the question. My opinion is no matter what he does, they're going to rip him apart. If he gave $10 billion to wounded veterans, they would turn it into something ugly. Because that's what the far left does. They hijack everything. They've hijacked the presidency. They've hijacked the family, the church. They've hijacked medicine. They've hijacked science. Wherever you turn, they've hijacked something. But I'm asking you, the experts out there, what does he need to do to raise his popularity in the polls? Just make it very specific. Now, I think family values are a big issue. We should go back to family values. I never hear them expressed. We need old-style family values expressed. I know that his wife, Melania, the greatest first lady in American history, is going to move into the White House. His son is going to move in. Wait till you see what they do to this fine wife and son. Wait till you see what the vermin do to them. Well, you got a hint, don't you, of who they really are?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
There's another time.
When the world seems
boys
to
emulated
like
men. The singers were all men. The singers were men like Dean Martin, and boys wanted to be like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. And boys wanted to be soldiers, they wanted to be cops, they wanted to be outdoors, they wanted to be tough, they wanted to be able to defend themselves. And we wake up, and all of a sudden, every one of these true values are being attacked by the psychotics who run the schools, run the media. Take a look at the men in the media, now look at them. By and large, look at the image they project. Is that an image that you think is reflective of most men on the planet? Are they therefore superior to most men on the planet because they portray a different side of masculinity, if you want to even go there? What is the norm in men's behavior? What should it? I didn't say become a Neanderthal and beat people up. I didn't say that. But we need men who can beat people up. Make no mistake about it. We need a lot of men who can beat people up to save this nation. Make no mistake about it. Without men who can beat people up, you wouldn't even be here. There'd be no country. From the beginning, there'd be no country. So when you conduct a war against boys, what you're doing is conducting a war against survival. Straight up, that's it. Now, that leads to another story, even though we're going to talk about the war against boys in this country, which, by the way, ties into the war against Trump. If you were to dissect what the war against Trump really is, the psychosis and the hatred, you'll see it comes from a very small minority within even the Democrat community, within even the liberal community. The fanatics are by and large the same fanatics who have a war against boys, a war against Christians, a war against America. They are the hardcore left-wing fanatics who control the blogs, who control the media, who control the messaging. Wherever you turn, there they are. They're the ones writing it. They're the ones projecting it. Now, that ties into another story. I don't know if it's that important to you. But I saw the other day that the ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel are protesting against Israeli military service in Israel. I said, wow, this is a great story. Here are Jews in Israel, a certain sect of Jews, the ones with the curls and the black hats, and they're a different sect than the Lubavitch. They're a sect that doesn't even believe Israel should exist. So they're screaming, it's better to be shot than to go in the army, one of them said with a long, dark beard. Protest against military service, which is 2 years and 8 months for men and 2 years for women in Israel, is compulsory for most Jewish Israelis, but not for the ultra-Orthodox Jews who represent now 10% of the Israeli population and live in strict compliance with strict interpretation of Jewish laws. So why are they opposed to military service? What sense does that make? If it wasn't for the Israeli military, they would have been thrown into an oven. If it wasn't for the military in Israel, they wouldn't even exist. So this is another example of how when people become so fanatical in their beliefs, whether the beliefs be religious in nature or political in nature, they become crazy. They don't even think what they're doing. So the average Israeli hates them for this, to be very honest. Why should they be exempt, they say, to go study in religious schools? It's very controversial. But the rabbis who run them are very hostile to any cooperation with the Israeli authorities and refuse and are considered they oppose the Israeli authorities. Last month, there were major protests in ultra-Orthodox areas across Israel with more than 30 people arrested. Now, there's more to the story because the ultra-Orthodox religious in Israel are not loved by most Israelis. Most Israelis, by the way, are very secular. They're not even religious, in case you don't know it. They could care less about religion. I don't know if you know that as well. Go to Israel and see what goes on a Saturday outside of very religious districts. In fact, the religious fanatics throw rocks at the non-religious in a certain area of Jerusalem called Ne'er Sharim, I believe, if I still remember correctly. And, okay, that's what they want to do, and they're protected by the state. Maybe you can understand it, maybe not. They want their ancient laws protected. I can see that. But when it comes to national defense in a nation that's surrounded by hostiles, why should religious Jews not be required to go into the military? Well, the answer is they're no longer exempt. A law was passed making them serve like everybody else, so they went crazy. And then they're dressed in their dark suits, and they scream, the state of Israel persecutes Jews. This is unbelievable. So that's another story that shows you how far a nation could fall if they're allowed to be pulled into the realm of extremism, whether the extremism be, in this case, ultra-Orthodox religious Judaism or ultra-Orthodox religious fanaticism of the kind that Bernie Sanders and the radical feminists and Hillary Clinton espouse. Yes, I put them all in the same category. That's all. Now, it's just one topic. There are so many others. I have a lot of energy to call, you know, to discuss them. Another one that's related is the takeover of our schools by Islamic indoctrinators. This is such a big story that I think I should touch on it. I have two chapters in Trump's war about how you have to fight back against the indoctrination in our schools by radical feminists and radical Islamists, because they're basically one and the same. I have to find the story, though, and I will. I will find it, I promise you. Here it is. Subject, regarding U.S. Department of Education indoctrinating students into Islam. Everywhere you turn, you see them teaching students about Islam. And the Christian Action Network, God bless them, are trying to stop the U.S. Department of Education from doing this in our schools. There are lesson plans for grades 7 through 5 through 12 with worksheets and videos to help American students perform the five pillars of Islam, not the five pillars of Christianity, not the five pillars of Judaism or of Buddhism or of Hinduism, but only of one religion. Why are they pushing Islam in our schools? Do you know why? The taxpayer-supported Department of Education should be closed down by Donald Trump. This indoctrination is one example, of how dangerous are the individuals in the Department of Ed, which should be closed down immediately and just shut the doors on it. Someone wrote me this. The email said, Christianity is a religion of freedom and respect today, while Islam is a religion of oppression and punishment. Christianity teaches Christians to forgive and encourage themselves and each other. Islam teaches Muslims to oppress and punish themselves and each other. If you were setting up a new world order, they write, which one would you want the masses of little people to adopt, Christianity or Islam? They go on, and they write, Islam has the potential to become the most pervasive and powerful system of control the world has ever seen for three strong reasons. First, its foundation is of oppression and punishment for disobedience, so it's like a police state in a way. Second, Islam isn't rejected as an outside enemy like police-type systems are, because as a religion, the people are able to embrace it as a cultural value, which brings meaning to their lives. Third, Islam can operate in every micro and macro level of society, making little children, as well as adults, into little policers and enforcers. It's a brilliant design. And they conclude by saying, what better way to make sure the global society remains under tight control with as little resources and effort as possible on the part of those in power? And now you know why. Now you know why the Department of Education is indoctrinating our students into the wonders of Islam in grades 5 through 12 while putting Christianity and the other religions on the shelf. And why, really, you should support the Christian Action Network in demanding that the Department of Ed remove the Islamic indoctrination program. So I got some data sent to me by another listener on will Islam dominate the world in 20 or 40 years. And they broke down the number of faiths, the people in each faith around the world. Right now, Christianity is the dominant faith in the world now at 32.5%. Islam is at 21.5%. Hinduism, 14%. Judaism is only 0.2%. Sikhism is only 0.4%. Is it 4? 0.4. Buddhism is only 6%. You'd have people in Marin County would have you believe that 60% of the world are Buddhists, that all Chinese are Buddhists, but they're not. In America, it's mainly housewives in Marin who have eschewed their Christianity and Judaism because they like to sit in the lotus position and bow and put their hands together when they're given a glass of water and a napkin in a Japanese restaurant, most of whom are not even Buddhists. But in all seriousness, Christianity 32%, Islam 21%, Hinduism 14%, Judaism 0.2%, Sikhism 0.4%, slivers, Buddhism 6%. Chinese religions only make up 6%, primal faith 6%, but there's a huge block of non-religious at 16%. So the person sends me the thing and she says, if only the non-religious are converted to Islam, Islam becomes majority or close to it almost immediately. And now you know the rest of the story. Now you know why the so-called communist progressives are in favor of Islam dominating and why they hate Christianity. They believe there will be a single world that they will run if everyone is indoctrinated into a single world religion filled with basic sheeple who do exactly what they're told to do. Very big story. I know we can't solve that problem on a radio show. There's nothing we can do right now, but we can talk about it. Okay, so that's another topic. Net neutrality is the first topic of the day, and we never knew what that was. But now we know what it is. Now we got people in America who are saying that by deporting dangerous criminals in America who are illegal aliens, we are doing what the Nazis did to the Jews during the Holocaust. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Absolutely nothing can be farther from the truth. There's a saying that was written by Blake, the great poet, "The eye that alters, alters all." And those who were traumatized by the Holocaust and severely traumatized by the Holocaust, for good reason traumatized, who see the entire world through the lens of the Holocaust, are not doing themselves or anyone else a favor. Because without firm borders, there is no nation. I should say without firm borders, there is no firm nation. There's no defined nation. There's no identity. If there's no identity, if a nation has no identity, there is no nation. Do you understand that? Listen to how important the saying borders, language, and culture is. It's the same with boys. If a boy has no identity as a boy, he can never become a man. If a nation has no identity as a nation with firm borders, language, and culture, it ceases to exist as a nation. Which is why the radical progressives in the media, like Andy Cooper, like Wolfie Blitzer, that's who they are. They're mouthpieces for the radicals. We know that. They may look like us, talk like us, walk like us, but they're not us. They're nothing but dangerous mouthpieces, in my estimation, which is why everyone hates them. They have no following. The reason they have a following is because they have a network behind them. But frankly, the people don't want this happening to this country. They didn't want it happening in England, which is why Brexit won, why Trump won. The basic population of the nation wants borders, wants language, wants the culture, and wants a firm identity for their nation that they love so much, that their ancestors loved so much. That's what they want. They want a firm identity. They don't want America to disappear because of open borders and a polyglot of languages and zero culture other than pornography and bad music. Am I clear enough for you? Are you hearing me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm Michael Savage. I wrote Trump's War. Can you hear me now?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
I think of all the topics that yours truly, I, Michael Savage, have talked about today, the one that really affects you, like, immediately, is the privacy rules issue. I mean, it does affect all of us. Everyone who's listening to the show is on the Internet. Tuesday night, a bill is passed in the House to basically sell off the privacy, in other words, what we search for. And how in the world can this be good for us? How can we support overturning the Obama-era privacy rules? And this is an interesting conundrum for many of us, because we are now agreeing with the Dems and liberals. Because these regulations will stop and do stop the sale of our private info to ad agencies. It's a huge story. So here's a man I've never agreed with, Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, on this issue. Let's hear.
Killing these FCC privacy rules through a CRA would create an unregulated Wild West where captive consumers would have no defense against abusive invasions of their privacy by their ISP. The rules are on the books. The broadband providers don't like it. They've always fought it. They are definitely in a situation where they think they can finally escape having to have robust privacy protections in place. The headlines every day warn us of what can happen with smart TVs, with smart devices, with what the broadband revolution makes possible in terms of the compromise of the information of innocent Americans.
I agree with him. Why should we disagree with Markey when he's right? And tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me, can someone explain to me why I'm wrong on this? Donald Trump says he may sign the bill right off the bat. I don't understand why you would support that. And it's a little complicated. I understand that. You have to actually think about that. I don't know whether you're a Democrat or liberal or conservative, whatever. How can you want to go along with the Republicans and Democrats who just voted to let internet providers sell your browsing history? This includes, by the way, this new regulation rollback that the Republicans pushed will allow providers to create marketing profiles based on the browsing history of their users, but also will let them deploy undetectable tools that track your web traffic. Can you believe this? Timothy Lee writes, "We are one vote away from a world where your ISP can track your every move online and sell that information to the highest bidder." That's of the a person from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a group that advocates for online privacy rights. Now, I usually don't agree with these people, but they're right. How is it that I'm agreeing now with leftist groups on this issue? Moreover, how can you conservatives want your privacy data shared? Explain it to me. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me where my logic fails me, if you don't mind.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Principles that we need to embrace are twofold. Number one, as a general matter, but especially in this context, we need to make sure that there's a level playing field in terms of anyone who is competing in the online space. And number two, the consumers have a uniform expectation of privacy. When they go online, they shouldn't have to be lawyers or engineers or technologists to figure out the regulatory classification of the entity that's holding their sensitive information. And so our goal is, obviously, to vindicate that consumer preference by applying an even regulatory set of requirements to everybody.
Right, so this is so complicated that no one understands it. This is such a complicated thing that is going on that even when FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, who is a conservative for sure, wants to get rid of these restrictions to let internet providers sell your browsing history, we don't know whether to agree with him or not. It's so complicated. Can anyone explain it to the audience right now? Or do you want to talk about how Islam is being indoctrinated, our children are being indoctrinated into Islam in our schools? Let's go to an individual named Orlean on KSFO in my home city of San Francisco. Orlean, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael. I'm so glad you brought up this subject. I had to teach Islam in the seventh grade for a two-week unit when I was a substitute teacher, and I was just shocked by what I was asked to have these students do. I was supposed to have them come dressed like Muslims, take a Muslim name, memorize.
What, you as a teacher had to dress like a Muslim in a school?
Yes. And they were.
Wait. Which school was this?
This was Healdsburg Junior High in Sonoma County. But it was.
Oh, Sonoma is a cauldron of insanity.
but it's going on across.
Sonoma is one of the worst, most indoctrinated counties in all of California. A lot of the mad people ran out of San Francisco and bought cheap places up there 15, 20 years ago. There are whole clavens of them up there in Sonoma County. And they run the schools as though they're private enterprises of their own. And they indoctrinate the children in some of the most despicable manner you could imagine. Now, I would have nothing against teaching about Islam from the point of view of an historical point of view if you did the same about Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. But that's not what they're doing, is it?
But this is a textbook that was being used all over the state, so it just wasn't in Hillsburg. And what I ended up doing, I was supposed to have them memorize scripture from the Quran, memorize the five pillars. I did not do any of that, but I did have the five pillars. I had to have them memorized because that was on the final test. But I gave them a copy of the Ten Commandments with memorized the five pillars and had them compare notes. So they got really a biblical teaching in this 2 weeks, much more.
And what happened when you added the Ten Commandments? Did any of the members of the Klavan come in and punish you?
No, nobody even came into my classroom whatsoever.
Well, good for you for being such a strong woman. You're the Betsy Ross of your area. Well, I'm going to give you the gift. I have only one gift to give you, which is my great book, Trump's War. I'm sure you're going to love it. There's a whole chapter on freedom of religion in there that applies so directly to this situation. And I want to repeat so I'm not misunderstood on this show. I have no problem with teaching the history of Islam or even the tenets of Islam, if you can do the same about the history of Christianity and the tenets of Christianity and the evolution of Christianity in particular, the Reformation, most specifically, not go back over and over again to the Crusades. Because if you want to talk about the Crusades of the Christians, you have to first begin with the First Crusade, which was the Muslim invasion of Christian lands and the attempt to kill and convert Christians. And what you don't know, because you probably went to a school in America, is that when you hear about the Christian Crusades, you think that they initiated it, but history does not support that. They were defending their own lands against the invasion. Does that sound familiar to you right now? Because we're living through a crusade in this nation and in the West. And Donald Trump's arrival on the scene has a lot to do with this invasion. You have to understand that one of the chief things he said he would do was build that wall. That has nothing to do with the crusade of the invasion of another religion. But he said specifically many times he would ban Muslim immigrants until we understood or got to the bottom, I think he said, of those who were here already. Now, that was controversial in one way, but not controversial in another. What is so controversial about looking into people from countries where there are a large number of fanatical terrorists? Why would you want to bring more of them into a country unless you're insane? Or you're such a liberal, you say, oh, it's impolite to even bring it up. Well, I think you have to put your survival instincts above your, let us say, social instincts in this regard, if you want to put it in those terms. Okay, so I think we've covered that one. Now we can go on to the others. And the ISP bill, I don't think we understand that well. But this was Obama's law. Why is Trump overturning it? Maybe Sam on KSFO could explain it. Sam, line 4, go ahead, please.
Hey, buddy. I love your show. Just wanted to say that. But the thing is that the truth about it is Obama actually, back in October, moved the government a firm foothold in completely regulating the internet by giving FCC control of it instead of the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, like it normally had.
So you're saying that the way the story is being presented by the media is a false narrative?
Yes, and actually Soros has given almost $100 million to net neutrality, and it's not really net neutrality. Like, when Obama...
Okay, so all the headlines are then deceptive. Every headline on the IP story from the other night says, Congress just voted to let internet providers sell your browsing history. That comes from TechCrunch.com. Congressional Republicans just voted to let ISP sell your browsing history to advertisers. That comes from Vox.com. GOP senators vote to repeal rules protecting your private internet browsing history. That comes to us from TheStranger.com. House Republicans just voted to let your internet provider sell your browsing history without your permission. Comes from Business Insider. Republicans just... See, I have all the headlines. Believe me, nobody does more homework than I do for a topic when I really get into it. In the days I'm into topics, which is today, I'm not talking about death, dying, and the hereafter. I'm talking about living in the here and now. When I get into a topic like this in the here and now, I do my homework. I have all the headlines. So I believe what you're saying is they're all wrong.
Yeah, pretty much, honestly. I mean, Soros is getting...
Are you a tech person, Sam?
No, but if you... There was an interview that this one Republican gave to Breitbart, and InfoWars has a really good article on it as well. What they're doing is it's not really net neutrality. We all want net neutrality, but it's not really that. I mean, the FCC was calling for regulating Drudge Report. You know that's not... They're going to try to shut them down using it that way. They're giving the FCC...
Yeah, but this is different because this is a different story than closing down talk radio or the Drudge Report or other sites. You know, someone just emailed and says they've been throwing prayer out in public schools in America for decades. How can they now institute Muslim religious education in public schools? What do you think about that topic, Sam?
Yeah, that's crazy. I've seen that. And it was literally this one, the guy, if you saw Tucker Carlson last night, he was from the Christian Action Network. He was saying how one of the videos was...
I don't watch that show because I think the bow tie is a phony, but nevertheless, that's my opinion. The bow tie was always a moderate middle of the road, and now all of a sudden he's pretending to be a flaming, you know, I wish him luck, but I don't know why he's getting so much attention. He's not doing anything that's so unique right now. Okay, but put that aside. The Christian Action Network is 100% right. They are opposing the indoctrination of Islam in our schools, and I agree with them 1,000%, Sam. I'm sending you Trump's war for your reading, entertainment, and education. Now let's go to WABC, New York City, Line 6. Tom, go ahead. What's your topic?
Yes. God bless you, Michael, for all you say and do. And a fine...
Achoo. I think I'll sneeze after that because you blessed me already.
Okay. Anyhow, Michael, I worked about 20 years in a Pennsylvania state hospital system. And I'd say about 8 out of 10 boys that I had their spirit broken. They were timid and feared the girls. Now, these boys didn't have any identity because of the chemical restraints like Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
These kids, and it literally robbed them of their God-given identity. I mean, it's...
Oh, this is such a big topic. And it's a concern of mine going back decades. Tom, when I was in the area of nutrition, health, alternative medicine, I wrote a book called Healing Children Naturally in 1983, by the way. And the opening chapter or paragraph is about boys and the medication of boys and how they were destroying our boys and how it was a war against boys by the feminists in cahoots with the pharmaceutical industry to destroy our masculine, the whole masculine element in American society. So you were in the end line. You were in the mental hospital where boys were sent?
Front line.
No, I'm trying to understand. You worked in the hospital doing what?
I was a psychiatric aide. I took care of their mental as well as their physical needs.
But, Tom, was it boys or men or both?
Well, we had men's wards and girls' wards, but then we had our mixed wards, too. And it was sad to see. I mean, a girl would walk by a boy and go to scratch her ear, and the kids would cower, the boys.
It sounds like most marriages in Manhattan after a certain number of years. You look at the divorces and you see the makeup and the nails on these women. I mean, even if the guy's worth $12 billion, no wonder these hedge fund guys are jumping out of windows when a divorce comes up.
Amen.
All right, I'm just joking. It's not funny. It's in dark humor. I get it. But why do you think that the boy bristled when a girl walked by and scratched her ear? What was he afraid of?
I don't know. Like I say, I think the chemical restraint literally robbed them of their psyche. It scared them. They were under control. They took away their identity. I mean, they were still boys, but you couldn't tell it to talk to them.
Well, I guess they're all working for ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN, and certainly MSNBC now. I mean, you would think that's who they are. They've gotten great jobs now.
Well, it's true, unfortunately.
All right, Tom, you've seen these guys. Did any of them ever come back from this hell? Did any of them ever get released?
Well, yes and no. some would. Some would get out of it, and if you got a good doctor to deal with them, the doctor realized that the Ritalin was keeping them back, holding them down.
Yeah. And Ritalin was one of the first generation of pharmaceutical straitjacket drugs.
Yes, sir.
The drugs today are far more powerful than Ritalin, incidentally.
Oh, I'd be terrified to take care of these guys today.
Hmm. What happens when kids use a high amount of marijuana? What did it do to them?
Well, I think it taints their thinking, number one. You never see a kid smoking dope. It's no good. I think it takes away part of their manhood, too. It makes them weak.
But isn't that the object of George Soros's millions of dollars that he started spending over 20 years ago? Pushing medical marijuana? Isn't that what Georgie wanted? A mentally weakened population?
Sure.
Oh, of course. How come I see all these things?
And I'll bet Mike...
I read that God sees the truth but waits. But I'm Michael Savage. I see the truth and I don't wait.
Well, you can't. You're a prominent person. You see things that most people see but just pass them off.
Yeah, that's well put. You sound like a guy who knows what's going on. Where do you live in New York? I'm not looking for the address. Do you live in like a Manhattan thing or in a borough?
No, I'm a Pennsylvania boy, Michael.
Where? We're out in the country?
Well, right now I am. Where I worked in the hospital was down in eastern Pennsylvania, probably closer to Philadelphia.
Amazing. Well, it's a tough world that you inhabited as a person who took care of sick people. It has to have an effect on you. Doesn't it affect your mind? I'm thinking about that. I remember Freud wrote that, I think it was, could have been Jung who wrote that a psychiatrist is like a clean river, a clean stream, and that he encounters the dirty psychological, the dirty consciousness of his patients, and eventually the clean stream is polluted by the filth in the streams of consciousness that he's healing.
True. Well, overall,
and that, by the way, it's a very sad statement because there's a high degree of suicide in the mental health professions, incidentally, Tom.
Absolutely. Well, you got to love people, Michael. That's the first basic point. And
no, you sound like a guy with a great heart. I'll tell you that. I want to hear it in your voice. All right. No, you're a nice guy. So all I can do. I tell you what. I'm going to send you Teddy and Me instead of Trump's War. I'll give you a kinder book, a gentler book. Stay on the line. We'll send you Teddy and Me. I knew when I did that book a few years ago, the publisher wanted me to do it. I knew Teddy was getting old, you know. So, okay, there we go again. Now, I knew I'd slip back eventually. I'm not doing it. I'm not going back to death and dying. Nope. I'm not going there. I'll be right back with some happy news on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
I wonder, wonder,
wonder who.
Who?
Who
wrote the book of
Oz? This is sung not by the Five Owls.
Tell me.
And they're not saying hoot, they're saying who. Who did write the Book of Love? I was reading an English nobleman known as Philip Stanhope, the fourth Earl of Chesterfield, and he wrote an interesting line, old Stanhope did. He wrote it about sex, and he said, sex, the pleasure is momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable. God. Well, he was English, of course. I don't know what he looked like. I thought it's funny. I wanted to share it with you out there. The pleasure is momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable. Philip Stanhope, 4th Earl of Chesterfield. Not of cigarette fame, but of a certain area of England. 4th Earl of Chesterfield. Well, anyway, go figure. Go figure what people think about things such as sex, what we think about the internet, the Catholic Church, what we think about Trump or the Democrats selling your private info, what we think about the war against boys, and all these other topics, the indoctrination in our schools against masculine behavior, against Christianity, the promotion of Islam in public schools while prayer has been kicked out by the atheists, Think about all of these things, because I have my whole life. And I've condensed them all in one place for you. My last political book, Get It While You Can. It's in the front of all stores. Number one, New York Times bestseller last week, Trump's War, His Battle for America, by yours truly, Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's a fun change to go from Dean Martin to Chinese music of this kind. I don't know why I'm doing it. Because there's anything but death and the grave. Welcome to the... anything but death and dying today. I mean, around birthdays. Yesterday was some bummer, that show. But a lot of people said it's your best show yet. Go figure that out. I had people send me emails. I know, you know, we really loved that deep show yesterday where you talked about dying and the hereafter. I said, okay, I'm glad to hear it. I must have lost half my audience with that segment, which went on for hours. But okay, so today I wake up, I feel better. What can I do? I'm a human being. We're all flexible. We're all flexible. If we're not, what are we? We're just rigid, conformist, predictable, boring, straight liners. I guess there's a place for people like that. I feed a lot of old bread to birds off San Francisco Bay. I eat a lot of bread. I love gluten. I embrace gluten. I'm a gluten eater. My mother loved gluten, 88. She loved bread. She's a bread lover. So, I mean, I love bread. It just does something for me. I like pasta. I like anything, any high carbs. I love them. Particularly when I want to relax. If I don't have carbs, I don't eat. There used to be a joke. You'd go to Chinese food, and the joke was you came away hungry. Because why? There were virtually no carbs. It's why it's a pretty healthy diet. You know, especially if you ate brown rice and no rice at all. But unless I had a piece of bread with a meal, I didn't eat. So I eat a lot of bread. So a lot of it's the next day I throw it to the birds. I break it up and throw it to them. I love to watch seagulls, the most humble bird you would imagine in the world. Have you ever seen them caterwaul for a piece of bread when three, four, five of them come after a couple of pieces of bread? How they can turn. I'm sure that in the Air Force, as sure as I'm standing here, they probably still teach pilots, fighter pilots, how to fly by showing them how birds will caterwaul on a dime. I mean, just spin. It's amazing to watch them. I watch the tail feathers flaring down, I think, of an F-15. Maybe they don't anymore. I don't really know. I know that in World War II, when I was studying that, the best fighter pilots were farm boys who were hunters. And they had to teach all the other boys who had never shot a gun before how you had to lead a target, meaning shoot in front of it. Because the target was moving, and so unless you shot in front of it, you were going to be shooting behind the target by the time the bullet, you know, came near it. But the boys who were hunters from America's wooded areas, who went into the Air Force, who became fighter pilots, were the best killers of the enemy planes. Can you imagine that? When I say things like that, killers of enemy planes, can you imagine the feminists who are listening right now, the ones who have narcotized, medicated, feminized our boys? Even saying that, what it does to them. All right, let's take some calls. Yes, siree, Bob. Hillary on KSFO line 4. What's on your mind, Hillary?
Michael, you're the ultimate sexual libertarian and medical and religious libertarian.
Did you say it's a religious vegetarian?
No. Libertarian.
So you're calling me a sexual, political, medical, religious libertarian. Why are you doing that?
Because you're the only man in my life who can talk about men wanting to fight, and I don't feel discriminated against. I feel empowered. And then also as a mother, not putting my children on Ritalin or anything else for that matter after reading.
You have to fight the school people, the devils who want to put your children on drugs. Fight them, resist them at all turns.
At all turns. It's disturbing. And
Let me tell you a little story without getting specific. When I was younger and had a school-age boy, I don't know what they did, but once someone suggested medication for something, he was such a boy, he is, God bless him, I went and I said, let me ask you something, do you have a medical degree? Well, they said, no. I said, do you have a medical degree? Well, no. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sue you for practicing medicine without a license, unless you shut your fat mouth. Why don't you take those drugs and shove them you know where? They never ever did it again. These people are out of control. They have no such authority, by the way. Moreover, these drugs are deadly, absolutely deadly. They are chemical straitjackets, according to every psychiatrist who I trust. I don't care about the drug peddlers out there. I don't care about the drug peddlers with medical degrees. Drugs like that are chemical straitjackets, particularly for our boys. Okay, so what else did you like that I did today?
I love how you can also be a religious libertarian, and that is so helpful for me living in Marin County because...
I'm sorry, I missed it. How I do what? Say it again.
You're a religious libertarian as well.
Oh, a religious libertarian.
Yes, because you are the only person to talk about Islam but not say it's the worst thing ever. I love how you could compare the history.
Well, it's true. I mean, if you want to teach about the history of Islam, teach about it, but don't indoctrinate our children by putting on a dirty nightshirt and having them bow down to Mecca.
And I think that goes back to you being a sexual libertarian because you're the only person I've ever heard say who's going to push homosexuals off, I don't think you said this, off the edge of a building, but I didn't realize that that's what Islam was teaching. I thought Islam was all-inclusive.
Well, they do. It's absolutely done in... If I made it up, I would be a liar. In Iran, they take homosexuals and they hang them from hooks on cranes. Ask anyone from Iran what goes on there and what they do to homosexuals in the Muslim world. And the brainwashing in this country is so overwhelming, it's hard to believe how so many gay people could not understand the danger they put themselves in by turning a blind eye to the realities of what they're talking about.
Right.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore. You know, I want to calm it all down for me and everyone else. I'm so glad that I bring something to your life that you need and sufficient for you to take time out of your day to listen to this show. Because I know you have a lot of choices, you have a lot of places you could be. You don't have to listen to this show. In the middle of all of the blizzard of things out there, you tune in for this show. That's quite a compliment. Thank you for the call. Stay on. Oh, please send her a book, Trump's War, if she's still there. Why not? Kim Jong-un threatens to nuke U.S. after McCain calls him fat. Play the Chinese music again. I wish I had Korean music, but I don't. Is there Korean music? There has to be. I don't mean to be insulting. I have some good Korean friends, but North Korea is threatening to go nuclear. Oh, what is this, like a Broadway tune from Pyongyang? Oh, this is the communists. Oh, they copied this from the Soviets. They don't know anything up there. They're still stuck in the 1950s. The rigid bad. This is like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is stuck in the 1950s. Him in a soapbox on Union Square. North Korea is threatening to go nuclear with Senator John McCain's description of the repressive regime's leader Kim Jong-un as a crazy fat kid. They said it's a declaration of war. Okay, great. That's terrific. McCain referred to the roly-poly tyrant when he said China should do more to rein in North Korea's bad behavior. I guess McCain's listening to the Savage Nation, because I've told you for years that North Korea wouldn't bark unless their master in China provoked them with a stick. They're the junkyard dog of China. So I gotta go back to a big political story. How is it that the great liberals who are so obsessed with Russia, 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 Russia? I mean, if you were to stop Charles Schumer in the street, you could probably look at him, he would say Russia. If he sleeps in the middle of Russia, 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 waking up saying Russia, 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 Larry David, Russia, 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 Russia. A few years ago, they were all extolling Russia. Then Obama wanted them to turn on Russia. Hillary Clinton came up with a campaign slogan about Russia. Russia, 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 all Russia. But they say nothing about North Korea, which is threatening us. North Korea threatens us almost every day. They say nothing about it. Why? Liberalism is a mental disorder. That answers everything. But for years I've been saying to you that China is the master of North Korea, and they use North Korea to threaten us whenever China wants to send a message to us. They have North Korea rattle their saber. So what is it that China wants Trump to hear? Now, remember, a huge delegation of the Chinese leadership is coming to Mar-a-Lago in a very short period of time. I think 200 of the leaders of China will be hosted at Mar-a-Lago in the very near future. I believe I read that somewhere. And there are going to be some heavy negotiations. And we heard that Trump's campaign was all about they're out-trading us, they're manipulating their currency. In other words, he was repeating everything that he heard on talk radio for years, right? Well, now they're coming, and I want to see what happens. Will he tell them to stop manipulating their currency? Will he tell them he's going to impose a tariff on Chinese goods, as he promised during the campaign? I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. So I think those two issues are why North Korea is now barking in the junkyard of their nation, that icy junkyard where people are eating scraps of food, if they eat anything at all. You know, you people who don't know the difference between communism and the other economic systems, all you got to do is look at the Koreas, the two Koreas. There's North Korea, a repressive nightmare of a communist dictatorship where the people are almost starving to death. They have no freedoms. They're killed for no reason whatsoever. Whatever this maniac wants to do to them, he does. There is no opposition. There's no vote. There's nothing. Zero freedom. And then you go south of the border. I think it's the 49th parallel, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. And you have a booming South Korea, naked capitalism. They're the ones who produce largely our televisions. Their cars are amazing, right? How is it that capitalism, which is so evil, Bernie Sanders, can produce great cars, great televisions, great electronics, so much freedom and happiness in one nation, while your vision of a socialist heaven produces less than the turds that an elephant drops in a zoo? How is that possible, all these stupid people out there, who you don't know the difference between what you're talking about? Nothing. You know nothing about what you're talking about. Nothing. Nothing. You yap, and you don't even have any idea what you're saying. Moreover, if you love it so much, why don't you just move to Cuba? See how they'll treat you over there. Another great nation that Bernie Sanders would really fit in well with down there. And you hear, though, they're all socialists. Or they proudly say, some of the idiots, I'm proud socialist. Well, why don't they go live in a socialist country? See how proud they are. See what kind of tenure they get over there. See if the man whose feet don't touch the ground over there at Berkeley, whatever his name is, used to be the labor secretary for the Third Reich. I mean, for Bill Clinton. How come he always extols communism and socialism? Why? Because he lives on tenure and he does nothing. Probably knocks down $200,000 a year plus free travel, free housing probably, whatever else he can get the extra meatball, him and the old lady, out of the university system. Whatever he can glum. Whatever he can glum, teaches nothing, espouses hatreds on television every other day. Every other day, espousing hatred for the United States of America. And whose show is he mainly on? There's only one outlet for all of these cranks. All the left-wing cranks wind up on Macho Red Cow show. All right, whatever. You know, the show's going to come to an end. The lights go off. The Klieg lights go off in the studio. The ISDN unit goes off. The lights go out. The limelight is turned off. And I walk away into the darkness of the afternoon and the evening. And so do you. I mean, maybe you listen to other shows. God bless you. You have a lot of time on your hands if you do, but are we really making a difference? Are we really changing anything? I gave it my all to make Trump known and to push him over the finish line. Let's put it to you that way. And now I don't know right now what he's doing. He attacks the Freedom Caucus, saying he wants to join the Democrats in destroying anyone who voted against the health care reform bill, which I think is one of the most disastrous policy mistakes he could ever make. How could he attack the Freedom Caucus so openly instead of saying, I disagree with them and I have to work with them and I have to explain to them why a compromise is important? Why did he go on the assault? Why must he attack the people he disagrees with, even amongst the conservative movement now? This is very worrisome. And I think that the roads lead all the way back to the inner circle and what's going on in there, because the inner circle is changing very rapidly. And I think that in the next hours or days, you're going to see a purge of the last vestiges of the true hardcore conservatives inside that inner circle, and the ascension of the Manhattan liberalism that we were all fearing would rise to the surface. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
All right, let me invite you to turn on your internet and go to michaelsavage.com, and you will see, of course, you're going to see my book is number one on the New York Times list for week one, and I strongly advise you to go to a bookstore and at least browse it. If you browse it and you don't like what's in there, you're not going to buy it, but if you browse it, you're going to buy it, because right now we need it more than ever. It's a battle, and we have a battle not only against the libs and the rhinos, but within the confines of the White House itself, man, because his war is our war, is it not? Isn't he our representative? Think about it. He is our supra representative. For those of us in America, such as I who live in San Francisco, have no congressman. I have no senator in this state, but I have a president. So if he is my representative, I need to speak with him. I'm one of the few who got a chance to sit down with him. Of the 6 or 7 billion people on the planet, everyone wants to meet Donald Trump, don't they? Friend and foe alike. Well, I'm one of the billions, and I got that honor to sit with him. And I said to you, he's just what he looks like in person. He's straightforward. He's got a great sense of humor. However, like anyone else, he's subject to influence. And my battle plan for victory in Trump's war was sent to him after I met with him. Signed copy. I'm sure he's gotten it by now. Maybe he hasn't read it yet. He's got to understand that we do know what we want, and that the patriots who elected him want our country back. And we don't want to be rolled by the system. The problem is the system's so powerful that no one can change it. Is that the sad truth, that no matter who gets elected, nothing can change it? I hope that's not the case. I certainly hope that we can change the system, because the system isn't working for us. And while everyone else was talking about the election, I, Michael Savage, was looking ahead. And I was writing Trump's war in order to keep him on track and to keep us on track, and in order to keep his feet in the fire, by the way. Not to put his feet on fire, but to keep the heat up. That's my job. Yes, maybe I will never get that invitation to the White House for that dinner. Yes, I may never sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. But so what? So what? I'd love to. I sure would love to. But our battle for America is more important than my comfort.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What I'm about to read to you are a list of things that were done by two presidents. And I'm going to ask you, who did them, Ronald Reagan or Barry Obama? Who did the following, Reagan or Obama? Nominated and appointed Eric Holder as judge. Doubled California state spending. Record California tax hike. Passed California abortion rights. Promised to abolish the Department of Education, but didn't. Promised to abolish the Department of Energy, but didn't. Doubled unconstitutional farm programs. Doubled unconstitutional Medicare. Passed unconstitutional drought relief. Doubled unconstitutional foreign aid. Didn't abolish one single unconstitutional federal agency, department, or program. Supported the unconstitutional Brady Bill. Who was this, Reagan or Obama? Who passed a bill forcing hospitals to treat illegal aliens in California? Who passed the unconstitutional war on drugs? Who increased government, tripling the national debt? Who raised the national debt from $930 billion to $2.6 trillion? Who passed a 5 cent per gallon gasoline tax? Who passed an FHA reverse mortgage bill? Was it Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama? Will Donald Trump become another Reagan or another Schwarzenegger, or worse yet, another Obama. When I see all these Democrats going into high places in the inner circle, I say, uh-oh, here we have it again, here we go again, there we go again. Remember when Schwarzenegger came to power, how great we thought it would be? And then we woke up and found out that he hired Jerry Brown's chief of staff to run his California state government. And the next thing we knew, Schwarzenegger had morphed into a leftist creature. Do you remember that? Are you hearing me? Does anyone out there hear me? It's not what you see, it's what you get that matters. Which is why I, Michael Savage, wrote Trump's War. To make sure you know what it is you voted for. And to try our best, and my best, and your best, to make sure that the president understands that we're not all dummies, and we know what we voted for. Look, it could come down that it's a Schwarzenegger, you know, redo here. That it started out as a muscled Republican conservative. The next thing we knew, the radical left invaded the inner circle, and that was the end of it. And Schwarzenegger became a patsy. That's all. An empty suit. A steroid... empty, steroid-driven empty suit. It looked like a muscle man, but was really a bowl of Jell-O inside. I hope not. I hope not. I suspect that there's going to be a huge turnaround inside the Trump camp, as we're seeing right now, that's ongoing. There are going to be people fired. There was one today. There may be some big ones tomorrow. And I believe that he will be moving to the left. When I see that his lovely, intelligent daughter has been moved into the White House, and she does come from a liberal background, and there's no point in mincing words. Everyone knows the truth about this. The son-in-law, these were big New York liberals. They probably still are. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but they don't agree with my politics, nor I with them. Now, they're going to move the president toward the left. They're going to try and soften him. They're going to try and make him more malleable. And as a result, he's going to alienate the core base. For example, he just attacked the Freedom Caucus last night. He tweeted against them today. Isn't that correct, Robert? How could you attack a core group that supported you when you're running for office? How is that even possible? You can't do that. It's a mistake to do that. You can't go after the people who put you in power soon after you become the president without losing a core supporter group. How are you going to run again? Does he care about running again? I don't know. I'm not inside his head. Who's advising him to attack the Freedom Caucus? Who's advising him to let internet providers sell our private data? Well, these are emerging questions for which I don't have the answer. But I hope that when this tape or a transcript of this particular tape of mine gets to Mr. President, if it does, and I don't know how much of this ever gets to him. I suspect some of it does. I've been told it does. He understands that without constructive critics like Michael Savage, someone who's been loyal to him from the get-go, things are not going to look very good for him as the years emerge. He cannot continue to just appeal to the Democrats and hope to retain a large loyal following. It won't happen because Democrats will never, ever support him. They'll only use him so far as they need him to advance their own agenda, okay? So that's that. I hope that he understands that I would like another dose of ice cream and chocolate syrup at some time in the future. And if not, it's not. I don't eat ice cream and syrup anyway. Here's another couple of stories if you're not agitated enough. After letting kids get sex change surgery at 15, Oregon Rad Dems try to raise smoking age to 21. Can you believe how sick they are? Do you know how sick the radical Dems really are? Here's another one. So-called Catholic University hosts radical communist Angela Davis as distinguished lecturer. Now, she was there when they killed guards at San Quentin. She's one of the most evil people on the planet, in my estimation. She should have been given a death sentence for what she did. Marquette, a Catholic university, hosts radical communist Angela Davis as distinguished lecturer. Now, you have to understand that Jesuit schools are not the same as Catholic schools. Jesuit schools are some of the most radical indoctrination centers in the country. They push progressive views of social justice as unimpeachable Catholic doctrine when it's not. Catholic doctrine is not that of the Jesuits. The Jesuits have always been far left, almost communistic, if not outright communist. Look at Jerry Brown, a Jesuit. When they push their view of Catholicism, and they bring a woman like Angela Davis, who was known for her career with the Black Panther Party and Communist Party, a woman who proclaims to this day that capitalism is the most dangerous kind of future we can imagine. When a woman like this who tells the LA Times that as long as we inhabit a capitalist democracy, a future of racial equality, gender equality, economic equality will elude us, she is one of the most notoriously dangerous women on the planet. She landed on the FBI's 10 most wanted list in 1970 for running away from police after she was charged with purchasing the murder weapon that was used in a courtroom in San Rafael, California in 1970. At the Women's March in January, this radical, this dangerous woman, Angela Davis, called on activists to become more militant. She said those who still defend the supremacy of white male hetero patriarchy had better watch out. She is a terrorist. And yet Marquette University is touting her as a living witness to history. And this anti-capitalist liar is earning between $10,000 and $20,000 for screeching against capitalism. Do you understand the hypocrisy and the lies of the left and how dangerous they truly are? No matter how old they get, they're still dangerous. To the last dying breath that they breathe on this planet, they would like to, let us say, destroy heterosexual white Christian males. And that brings us back to the first topic of the day, the war on boys that is being conducted by evil people like this woman. Radical feminists have almost destroyed the West. It is the radical feminists who went after the white heterosexual Christian male from the get-go for reasons you can well understand. Once you understand who radical feminists really are, you'll understand why they are the gravest threat to the survival of the West. And what's even more ironic and psychotic, ironic and psychotic, by the way, I'll mute the two words together in a moment. If you merge ironic and psychotic together, what do you get? Well, you get Angela Davis or Mad Cow. But that's not a joke. They are the ones who conducted a war against masculinity in men and are now conducting a war against young boys on an almost institutional basis. They took over the schools, took over the universities. They're running the media behind the scenes. And now we see that they want to do the final thing in their war on boys. Got a lot of calls on this issue of the war against boys being conducted by the radical feminists who have infected and invaded every aspect of our society. They hate men. They hate straight men in particular. They have a war against boys. It's destroying the society. I need to go to the conclusion that the greatest thinker on this subject, Christina Hoff Sommers, comes to this conclusion in clip number 8. Listen.
As our schools become more feeling-centered, more competition-free, more sedentary, they move further away from the needs of boys. We need to reverse the boy-averse trends. Male underachievement is everyone's concern. These are our sons. These are the young men with whom our daughters will build a future. If boys are in trouble, so are we all.
Right. And if Tom Sawyer were alive, he would be declared a racist and a homophobe and probably be put into an institution. What's going on today is sick. It is so sick, the only thing we can do is fight it by exposing it. We have to inspire boys. We have to inspire males. We have to make men proud again to be men. And we have to, most of all, not be afraid of these intimidating monsters, the mean-faced, clipped-haired monstrosities that stand up everywhere and shout you down if you dare stand up for yourself and your boy. Don't let them do it. They're no better than you are. Your opinion counts, too. Here's good news, anyway. I read this morning that stylish dogs are ruling the catwalks of Shanghai streets, and that young Chinese in Shanghai, are showing off their pet dogs, dressing them up in eye-catching outfits. Pet owners like to dress up their pets the way they would their own children, said a woman surnamed Huang, as she walked to two fluffy brown poodles, one with a pink bow tie and the other wearing a blue one, through a central Shanghai neighborhood. Or rather, they walked her riding in a baby stroller as Huang pushed, and his big business in China. So I said, this is the best news I've heard yet, because it means communism is dead in China. The only place it lives is amongst progressives and Bernie Sanders ear in America. Communism is dead in China, except a very small number of old-line people love communism. But this shows definitively that the Chinese are so great. $17 billion a year in pet clothing last year. Millennials are becoming the main customers with their consumer power growing. This is fabulous. Zhang Wen, a psychologist at Shanghai's Huada Institute of Applied Psychology, said that for many Chinese, pet ownership is, quote, a kind of escape from interpersonal relationships. That's true. It said the pet becomes a projection of the opposite sex for some people who do not find a partner. Well, you could add something to that. I see a lot of big men in America. I mean big guys with little dogs. It used to be big guys had big dogs. Now big guys have little dogs. And it's the little guys who have the big dogs, which is very interesting to me. Why is it that the vermin in the streets call progressives, the rats who hide behind masks at riots, if they have dogs at all, they're usually pit bulls with chains around their necks? Have you figured that one out? Well, think about it. Anyway, this is very good news that stylish dogs are ruling the catwalks of Shanghai streets. It means communism is dead amongst the millennials. This is a great story. It tells us something. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's another time. Boys emulated men. The singers were all men. And boys wanted to be like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. And boys wanted to be soldiers. They wanted to be cops. They wanted to be outdoors. They wanted to be tough. They wanted to be able to defend themselves. And we wake up, and all of a sudden, every one of these true values are being attacked by the psychotics who run the schools, run the media. Take a look at the men in the media. Now look at them. By and large, look at the image they project. Is that an image that you think is reflective of most men on the planet? Are they therefore superior to most men on the planet because they portray a different side of masculinity, if you want to even go there? What is the norm in men's behavior? I didn't say become a Neanderthal and beat people up. I didn't say that. But we need men who can beat people up. Make no mistake about it. We need a lot of men who can beat people up to save this nation. Make no mistake about it. Without men who could beat people up, you wouldn't even be here. There'd be no country. From the beginning, there'd be no country. So when you conduct a war against boys, what you're doing is conducting a war against survival. Straight up, that's it. Now, that leads to another story, which, by the way, ties into the war against Trump. If you were to dissect what the war against Trump really is, the psychosis and the hatred, you'll see it comes from a very small minority within even the Democrat community. Within even the liberal community, the fanatics are by and large the same fanatics who have a war against boys, a war against Christians, a war against America. They are the hardcore left-wing fanatics who control the blogs, who control the media, who control the messaging. Wherever you turn, there they are. They're the ones writing it. They're the ones projecting it. Now, that ties into another story. I don't know if it's that important to you. But I saw the other day that the ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel are protesting against Israeli military service in Israel. I said, wow, this is a great story. Here are Jews in Israel, a certain sect of Jews, the ones with the curls and the black hats, and they're a different sect than the Lubavitch. They're a sect that doesn't even believe Israel should exist. So they're screaming, it's better to be shot than to go in the army. One of them said with a long dark beard, protest against military service, which is 2 years and 8 months for men and 2 years for women in Israel, is compulsory for most Jewish Israelis, but not for the ultra-Orthodox Jews, who represent now 10% of the Israeli population and live in strict compliance with strict interpretation of Jewish laws. So why are they opposed to military service? What sense does that make? If it wasn't for the Israeli military, they would have been thrown into an oven. If it wasn't for the military in Israel, they wouldn't even exist. So this is another example of how when people become so fanatical in their beliefs, whether the beliefs be religious in nature or political in nature, they become crazy. They don't even think what they're doing. So the average Israeli hates them for this, to be very honest. Why should they be exempt, they say, to go study in religious schools? It's very controversial. But the rabbis who run them are very hostile to any cooperation with the Israeli authorities and refuse and are considered deserters. They oppose the Israeli authorities. Last month, there were major protests in ultra-Orthodox areas across Israel, with more than 30 people arrested. Now, there's more to the story, because the ultra-Orthodox religious in Israel are not loved by most Israelis. Most Israelis, by the way, are very secular. They're not even religious, in case you don't know it. But when it comes to national defense in a nation that's surrounded by hostiles, why should religious Jews not be required to go into the military? Well, the answer is they're no longer exempt. A law was passed making them serve like everybody else, so they went crazy.
Savage.